Hi, I'm Ron Bates, Senior Pastor of The Light Church. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. I hope this message inspires you to love God, love people, and shine His light.
But I do have a message for you today, and it's about being bold. Yes. Father, we come to you this morning, and we ask that you help us to be bold, to be strong, and Father, in challenging times, to take a bold stand for what we believe in, who you are, Father. Give us the strength, the courage, Father, to be bold in these times, to shout the name of Jesus from the housetops. Father, to be bold and proud of Jesus and who you are and what you've done for us, to proclaim the message of the gospel, to not be silenced, to not be dispersed as a church, Father, but to increase, to abound in the work of the Lord. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give him praise. You know, let me say this too. I was looking at the buildings going up, and we haven't said a lot about the Kids Light building. Listen, it's still going. We've had some delays. We had delays with COVID. We have had delays with architectural things, but we are on the move, and we believe that pretty soon we're going to be able to start breaking ground on that. Keep praying for that. Funds are still coming in for that, so we're thankful. Listen, do you know in this community how many homes are coming in? And listen, I know that we've been in a time where the church has been displaced a little bit. We've been social distancing, but I believe it's time for the church to come together again. Come on. And I believe that time is coming. People are going to be looking for a place to be praying for that. So bold stand in Acts 4. Turn over to that. We've been talking about this, and I hope that you've been feeling bolder. We talked about building boldness, bold authority, bold prayers, and today I want to talk about a bold stand. And what that is, we talked about the word bold. It means to be courageous. In other words, a courageous action. Doing something that might present some negative consequences, but you're doing it because you believe in it regardless. To be bold for that, and a stand is your position, your belief. The church needs to be bold in our stand, in our faith, in our beliefs. To have a bold stand, to dig our heels in, and for the right reason. Sometimes we can dig our heels in for the wrong reasons, you know. But we need to dig our heels in for the right reasons. You've heard it said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It's true. We have to stand for something. And when I was thinking about taking a bold stand, I was thinking about this years ago. I used to go to a CPA to do my income tax. And because of the profession I was in, there were certain things that this person knew. There was a lot of firemen that went to this CPA, and he knew all the things he could do. He could take off this, take off that. And I went there for several years. I was from when I was a rookie to several years after that. But as I started walking with the Lord, what he would do, he would say, well, you're entitled to this or that, and we can say that you bought this and bought that. But I my conscience started bothering me to be able to say that to say that I did this when I didn't do it, right? When I did this when I didn't do it. So when I went to him this time and he gave me the income tax and I told him beforehand, I said, look, I don't want to do this what we did last year. I don't want to do that anymore. Here's the receipts I have. This is all I want to do. And I remember him telling me, well, if you weren't so straight, we could get you a lot more money, straight-laced and, you know, goody-two-shoes, we could get you a lot more money back. And I said, you know, I don't care. Anyway, I got my income tax, and I owed some money. But, you know, I would rather owe honestly than to receive something dishonestly. And so I left, and I got to thinking, I got to pay taxes, but I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. So I pulled into this other income tax place and gave it to them. A few days later, they called me back. They did exactly what I wanted them to do, and I ended up getting money back. Come on, give God praise. But, you know, even if I had to pay, I would have felt better about that. The point is, a bold stand, sometimes there's some consequences to it, but let's do it for the right reasons. The church needs to take a bold stance. You know, refuse to cave in to the threats, as we know that Peter and John were threatened because they healed this man and they were preaching Jesus and they were threatened. They were preaching the gospel, gathering together. They continue to do that, continuing to do the work of the Lord as we need to do. They took a bold stand, we know, in Acts 3, whenever they healed the lame man. Silver and gold I do not have, but that which I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They took a bold stance. They began to preach. They began to call out those who crucified Jesus and tell them to repent. And those were some uncomfortable things. And when I think about the early church and their boldness, listen, guys, they were living in a time for them to do that. They knew they had to be bold. And I believe we're living in a time where we're told to be silent, be quiet, don't preach that. And sometimes we can look at it as an attack on conservatism. But listen, it's an attack on righteousness. It's an attack on righteousness, and we need to take a bold stand. So the elders weren't happy with this, and in Acts 4:18, look at this. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. What a bold thing to tell them. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You can say what you want, but you judge, is it right for us to listen to you or listen to God? We cannot contain what we've heard. We're going to shout it from the rooftop. Come on. Yes, amen. We're gonna preach and teach. We're going to continue to do the things that we've done. And why were they angry? Because, listen, it threatened their position, their power, and their agenda. Listen, because it threatened their power, their position, and their agenda. Why are people threatened today of the name of Jesus? Because it threatens their agenda. Come on, and their positions, convicts their lifestyle. They wanted to satisfy themselves. We face the same anger and the same threats. Listen, Satan's tactics haven't changed. They haven't changed at all. He still wants to stop the message of Jesus Christ because this message threatens people. And listen, they wanted to, as they do now, disperse the crowd and quiet the message. Does that seem familiar? Disperse the crowd and quiet the message, but they took a bold stand. They refused to stop teaching, to be quiet. They refused to run and hide. They were determined to obey God. We cannot but speak the things that we have heard about Jesus. So taking a bold stand is a choice. That's point number one. It's a choice. Listen, there's a difference between just taking a stand and taking a bold stand. We can take a stand when we're running with the crowd. If we take a stand that's going against the stream, it takes boldness. It's easier to stand with the majority, and sometimes we have to take a bold stand, and it's a choice that we have to make. You know, I've made some bold stances in my life. The one I shared with the CPA, that was one. But you know, I've made some other bold stances. You know, I do some things that some people might consider hazardous to my health. You know, I like to ride dirt bikes. You know, it has been hazardous to my health, you know. But there's something, you know, and I'm not afraid of doing some things, but some things I take a bold stand. People have asked me to go skydiving. No, I'm not going. It's not that I'm afraid. I just don't like afraid of heights. I just don't like being off the ground very far. And it really, it's not even that. It's just, you know, hey, I'm doing enough already. It's like, why am I going to take that risk? You just have to draw the line somewhere. I remember Ryan, when he was younger, he made a bold stand, and Hannah was the exact opposite. We would take them to, you know, Disneyland or an amusement park or whatever, and Hannah, even when she was too little, you know, they had the arrow, you got to be this tall, and she was too short. She wanted to get on the roller coaster. She wanted to do these things. She wanted that challenge and that thrill. Ryan was like, nope, you know, here's the arrow on him. He's like, nope, I ain't doing it, you know, I don't want to do it. You know, it's bold stand. I remember one year we were at an amusement park. I think it was a rodeo, and they had the fair there. I took him and a friend of his, and we were out at the rodeo, and they had this amusement park. And his buddy was like, hey, Ryan, let's ride this. And he's like, nope, not riding that one. You know, if it goes high and fast, nope, not doing that. So he made a bold stance. Well, we came around the corner of this one ride, and as we walked around the corner, it was coming to a stop. And it was flat on the ground, and it was moving in a circle very slow. And his buddy looked at it and said, what about that one? And Ryan looked at it, and he didn't see anything threatening. And he's like, and I said, come on, Ryan, you'll enjoy this. Yeah, I think it was called the barrel of fun or something. It starts spinning and spinning, then it goes up high and turns, and the bottom falls out and all this stuff. And you're not attached to anything. Gravity holds you to the side. So he's like, I said, come on, Ryan, this one's not that bad. You could do this one. He's like, okay. So he gets, oh, come on. So he gets on it, and you know, he's up against the side, and he and his buddy, I'm outside watching them, and they're like, hey, yeah, it's good, yeah. They're getting ready to go, and it starts going, and as it goes around, I couldn't see them until they got away from me, and they were facing me, and I look at them, and they were just talking, but as they kept going and getting a little faster, Ryan's demeanor kept changing. It would go from like, you know, this to like this, and again, it'd be like, then about the fourth time around, it's like this, and until it's like this, and he's up and spinning, and he comes off when it stops, it comes, and he just walks right past me, and just angry and mad. He made a bold stance. He didn't talk to me for the rest of the day. It was a lot of fun. But he got over it, you know. Matter of fact, he told me a while back that he had went to somewhere with some friends, Six Flags or something. He said, Dad, you know, I overcame my fear of these rides. I determined, he made a bold stand here. He goes, I determined when I went there, I was going to ride every ride. And he said, it did. He said, Dad, I really enjoyed it. Come on, give God praise. He helped him out there. So I was really just helping him along in his growth. Bold stance. You know, I made a bold stance. I don't eat liver. Come on, I'm taking a bold stance there. I don't eat it. You know, you ever notice in dieting when you take a bold, you have to take a bold choice when you're dieting because, you know, you go out and there's so many things to choose from. Remember, a bold stance is a choice. And you choose, man, I'm only going to eat these things. But man, when you, especially when they put pictures. And you know, statistics shows that people, if you get pictures, they order from the picture rather than what they're reading because, man, that looks so good. It'll knock you off your bold stance quick, man. But you know, so you make, I'm bold, make a bold stance, and I'm not going to do this. I'm going to look what's for something healthy on the menu, and you have to choose wisely. And then, you know, we always do this. I don't know why we do. Hey, what are you ordering? Don't we? Because we want to know. We don't want to miss out. And then all of a sudden, you just throw it out and say, man, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to get what I want. You know, I'm going to splurge today, you know? I've dieted for a few hours now. I'm going to splurge. Yeah, have you ever noticed that the longer you go without eating, the harder it is to take that bold stance? Have you ever noticed the longer you go without feeding your body, the harder it is to take a bold stance not to do the things you don't want to do? Have you ever noticed the longer you go without feeding your spirit, the Word of God, the harder it is to take that bold stance and not to do the things you want to do? A bold stance is a choice, not just when something presents itself. It's a choice when you get up in the morning. If I'm going to be strong and bold, I need to get the Word of God in me today and now. Come on. I need to feed on it. That's a choice in itself. Joshua, you know, he led God's people to a new land and surrounded by, listen, an opposing culture. In other words, God doesn't want you to get involved in these things, an opposing culture. He leads them in, and he encourages them to make a bold choice. Joshua 24:14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. In other words, respect and honor the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. He's telling them to make a bold choice and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself. You make the choice yourself, he's saying. This day whom you're going to serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. In other words, you're dwelling here, but you've got to make a choice where you're living. Where you're living, make a bold choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody give God praise. It's a bold choice. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out as sheep among wolves, he sent them out and they had to make some choices. And he told them, you're going to be presented before governors. Listen, that wasn't a good thing. In other words, what he's saying, if you go out and you serve me and you make the right choices, it's going to put you in some places. You're going to, just like Peter and John, they were taken before the Sadducees and the Pharisees on trial, basically. He's saying, look, you're going to be out in as sheep among wolves, and it's going to take you to some places because you're serving me and you're preaching the name of Jesus. But he also said this, that it's going to turn out as a testimony. In other words, the challenges that we face, when we make bold stands, sometimes it may put us in some uncomfortable positions, but God will help us to use it as a testimony and bring him glory. And bring him glory. So he's sending them out like this. And then he continues and tells them this in Matthew 10:27, Jesus to his disciples, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. In other words, don't contain what you know about Jesus. This is what Peter and John said. You judge if it's right. We can only speak the things that God has told us. In other words, we can't contain it. Speak in the light, and what you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. Shout it from the rooftops. Jesus and the message of hope and salvation and peace and strength and health and healing, all the things that pertain to him. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So it's a choice. The second thing is this, take a bold stand in faith, in your beliefs. You know, the enemy strategy hasn't changed. He's still trying to change our thoughts. Change our beliefs against God, doubt and confusion. But listen, God's word is true, come on, and true alone. So we have to take a bold stance in our faith, and Peter speaks to this, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then it says resist him, and that word resist him or resist is from the word antistemi, and it means this, to set yourself in opposition against it. Set yourself in opposition against the strategies of the enemy. And it says be steadfast, in other words, a bold stand, steadfast, not moving in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, everybody is facing challenges, but take a bold stand in your faith. 1 Corinthians speaks to this in 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast, immovable. In other words, dig your heels in for your faith. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I love the way he says that, be steadfast and immovable. And it literally is saying, be firm, fixed, unwavering. But here we have to understand this. It doesn't just mean dig your heels in and don't move. Because we can do that. And I believe the enemy would actually be happy with that. Let me explain what I mean. If we dig our heels in and we don't move off from where we are, we never grow, we never advance, and we become stagnant, I think the enemy would be happy with that. But when it says be steadfast and immovable together, it doesn't mean just dig your heels in and stay. It means to continue to make progress in the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Continue, not getting quiet, not getting diluted, not getting dispersed, not having less of an impact, but abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding, exceeding a fixed number or measure in abundance and overflowing, not the bare minimum, not barely getting by. We have to continue to make progress for the kingdom of God. Give God praise for his word. And we have to stand bold, and we have to keep standing. You know, I mentioned earlier, and by the way, thank you for the just the memories and the last 15 years of what's happened here. But you know, it says keep standing because listen, in your life, in my life, we all face things that make us want to crumble or quit advancing for God. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We face challenges and things. But we're supposed to stand and keep standing in the things of God. Yeah, in this world, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations and trying times, pressures and things that bring distress. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Guys, we're living in an evil day. So take up the whole armor of God in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and I love the way it says this, it says stand. Well, I've done all I can do. Okay, well, keep standing. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been through this. I've tried this, and I've tried that. And this didn't work, and this person did this to me, and this, and I've done everything I can do to stand. You know what the answer is? Keep standing. That's right. Keep standing, but not on your own. Put on the armor of God, and it goes on to list all those things, the breastplate of righteousness, his truth, the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, all these things, the sword of the Spirit, help us stand. So when you've done all you can stand, stand with his help. Number four, listen to this. A bold stand in Babylon. And I wanted to share this. I was reading this last week. I was reading this and I thought, man, this is so much like what we are living in right now in Babylon. Whenever God's people were exiled in Babylon, Jerusalem was under siege by the Babylonians. Listen, when you hear the word Babylon, it represents a culture that's wicked and morally corrupt. In other words, anti-God. And that's what Babylon was. It was a culture that was anti-God and just did things that opposed God. And Babylon had gained control, and listen to this, they were imposing their culture on God's people. Do you feel like you're in Babylon? Imposing God's culture imposing Babylonian culture on God's people. And I feel like we're living in that today. And you know, I imagine if they asked, how did we get here? Well, because people turned their hearts away from God. When you turn your hearts away from God as a people, as a group, as a nation, listen, God wants to do everything he can to bring you back to him, even if it is in exile or in Babylon. So I see such a parallel here. And they say, how did we get here? Well, because you turned your hearts from God. And Jeremiah prophesies about what's going to happen. Before it happened, he's prophesying to God's people so they would know what to expect. And you know what I love about God? It's kind of like he says, look, this is going to happen to you, but I'm going to tell you it's going to turn out okay. Don't you love that? You know? So Jeremiah prophesies of this exile that's going to happen, and he says this, Jeremiah 29:4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So he says he caused it to happen. Build houses. He's telling them what to do when this happens. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. In other words, live life so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may, I love this, be increased there and not diminished. I don't care where we are in our culture, we are designed to increase and not diminish. Come on. Increase and not diminish with God. I love this message. Verse 7, he says this, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. I would say, look, let's seek the peace of the United States of America. Amen? Seek the peace of the United States of America. And he says this, and pray to the Lord for it, for it is peace. For its peace, you will have, in its peace, you will have peace. By the way, every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock right here, we are praying for the nation and praying for the things that's going on. But he says, seek the peace of the city, wherever he's caused you to be. Wherever you are, let's seek the peace of where we are. Amen? For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in the midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. So here's what I would say the message we can receive from that is this. Don't be deceived or confused by the false words or propaganda that you hear. Trust in the Lord and his word. Amen? Amen. Be bold in his truth. And then he goes on, and we're familiar with this. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Would somebody give God praise for the hope he gives? He gives us hope. He gives us hope. Then I want to share this, because Jeremiah is still prophesying. He says this, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found. You know what I see here, and we need to pray for this too? An awakening. That people will seek him and find him. Come on. Amen. That people will seek him and find him. And I want to fast forward to after they were taken captive, and we know the story of Daniel and three Hebrew boys. But how did they handle this? How did they take a bold stance in Babylon? In Daniel 1:8, listen to this, and we know this because they were taken by the king to be in service to the king. And they were going to be trained, and they were fed different foods, which went against God's culture for them. And it says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So look what he says. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. In other words, he made his mind up. He dug his heels in. He took a bold stance. I am not going to do this in the face of some severe consequences that could come. But he purposed in his heart. What did he do? He took a bold stance. He dug his heels and said, I'm not going to defile myself. Well, listen, it's talking about eating these foods. But listen, I'd say this. Don't consume the false doctrines of Babylon or wherever you are. Amen. Purpose in your heart not to allow them in your spirit and in your heart. Amen. Give him praise. And of course, I love this with Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all remember they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace because they didn't bow. And I love that they refused to bow. And talk about a bold stance. They said, our God will deliver us. Oh, King, our God. Listen, let's take a bold stance with that. Let's just be able to proclaim, no matter what we face, God's going to deliver us. Amen? That he will deliver us. And they said this in verse 18, Daniel 3:18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Refuse to bow to the culture and ideology of Babylon. Amen? They took a bold... Yeah, go ahead. Now, go ahead and stand with me. And I want to share this last point as we get ready to close, because I'm going to tell you what. I read this, and I tell you, I came out of my seat. It just spoke to where we are. You know, the plot against Daniel, later it came where they said, you cannot petition any god except the king. They considered him a god. For 30 days. And they did this to trick Daniel, because they knew he wasn't going to. They said, look, we can't find any fault in Daniel. Matter of fact, Daniel rose to the top, just like Joseph. He rose to the top. And they didn't like it. They said, let's find some fault. They said, well, we can't find any fault in him unless we find fault against his God and his God's laws. In other words, they knew he's not going to go against his God. They learned that about Daniel. So let's make a law. Let's go to the king. Let's make a law that says if anybody worships any God other than the king for 30 days, they got to be killed. And so the king agreed. He was kind of high on himself, I guess. But he agreed. And so they made the petition. Listen to this. Talking about a bold stance. And Daniel knew this. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew the petition was signed, he knew that they said he couldn't do this, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And listen, let's take a bold stand. But can I tell you this? Let's don't wait to develop a stand. Let's have a custom. Let's develop a custom of worshiping him in his life. Let's develop a custom of serving him and reading his word, and so that we can continue to do these things. He did this, and I love what it says. He didn't go in and say, well, I need to shut the windows. I need to turn the lights off. I need to be quiet. I need to do what I'm told. I need to shut the doors of the church. I need to put a sign up that says we're not having church today. Come on. No, no, no. He says, look, I'm going to go like I've always done, and I'm going to open the windows. I'm going to open the doors, and we're going to praise and we're going to worship God together. We're going to give him the glory that he deserves. Come on. We're going to abound in the work of the Lord. We're not going to decrease. We're not going to diminish. We're not going to be quieted. We're going to shout it from the rooftops. Come on. Give him praise. No fear of the consequences. And of course, we know the story. He was thrown into the lion's den, right? The king came running. Daniel, are you okay? Oh, king, my God has delivered me and shut the mouths of the politicians. Come on. Yes. Of the lions. Come on. That's bold. Church is better together. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity. We're reaching a lot of people online. I'm thankful for that. And some people can't come. But can I just tell you, let's be bold. Let's get back into church. Let's don't get complacent, deluded, dispersed. Let's praise him loud and proud. Amen. Father, we thank you for your truth, for your word, Father. Boldness. As Peter and John had, as Daniel had, as Joshua had, as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had, as David had. Father, let us be bold, make the right choice to stand in our faith, to keep standing when we've done all we can do, Father, to keep standing, Father, and not bow in Babylon. And Father, we pray that you shut the mouths of the lions and show yourself, Father, show your glory. And we thank you for that. Every head bowed and eyes closed. You know, it's a bold stand to change sometimes. It's a bold stand to say, you know what, I'm going to quit going in the direction I've been going, and I'm going to turn, I'm going to repent. You know, when Peter was bold, that's one of the things he told the people when he was preaching to them, when he was bold. What must we do? Repent, he says. That's a bold thing to do. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you don't feel bold, but can I tell you, maybe you're feeling the Holy Spirit tug on your hearts that says, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you if that's you. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be bold. I want to pray for you right where you are, but raise up a hand boldly if that's you, and I want to see where you are. I want you to acknowledge that with an uplifted hand. If you're at home, lift a hand up. I can't see it, but I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. So I want to accept Jesus Christ. I want to be bold. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. Hallelujah. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I thank you for your word. I believe every bit of it is true. I believe that you exist. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. And I take you at your word that says, if I believe this in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I'll be saved. So I thank you that right now, I'm your child, you're my God, and I'll spend eternity with you in Jesus' name. Give him praise.
Thanks again for tuning into our podcast. If you accepted Christ today, we are so excited for you. We want to invite you to text BORN AGAIN to 31996. We know that God has an incredible future for you, and we cannot wait to walk alongside you. If you would like to support this podcast and the ministry at The Light, you can give online at thelightcf.org. We love you, Light family. Have a great week.